Bhagavate Te Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In the three classes preceding this one, we heard an extraordinary story of how Krishna arranged that a dear devotee of his, Maharaj Chitraketu, was purified from all his remaining impurities and then could proceed on his path back home, back to Godhead. He was really purified through a fire which we could call an ordeal. He took birth as the demon Vritasura. But inside, he retained or kept his very, very devotional attitudes. And in the just briefly before his death, just shortly before his death, he surprises Indra and all the hearers and readers of the Bhagavatam by what comes out of his devotional heart, prayers, which Srila Prabhupada called the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. And in a glorious way, he returns to his Lord, Sankarshan. This was heard by Parikshit Maharaj. It relieved him greatly to see the death of a great devotee, because he understood also that within a few days, 3 or 4 days, he had to die. And he understood the principle of a glorious death, that is being fully absorbed in Krishna. Let us pause for a moment here. Let us ask ourselves the question, what happened in Parikshit Maharaj's life? What were the incidents which brought him to the bank of the Ganga, where he listened to Shukadev Goswami narrate the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And maybe even more importantly, what happened exactly after Shukadev rose, when he had completed the Bhagavatam and left Parikshit Maharaj? There is a history which needs to be told, a history which needs to be seen, and a history which needs to be felt. In the story of the Brihadbhagavatamrita, we hear about, at least in the second part, about Gop Kumar, who has an eternal relationship to the Lord in his form as Madan Gopal. And as we follow Gop Kumar's journey, we will see that he comes through different tests. He comes to different manifestations of the Lord. But his mind, like a bumblebee who has tasted honey, remains focused and fixed on the lotus feet of his worshipable deity, Madan Gopal. Just like Vritasura in the sixth canto teaches us, even in adverse circumstances, you know, he was in the body of the demon, to remain fixed. This story is a story of absorption. But I would like to ask the question, just as Chitraketu had to learn something, is there something which Gop Kumar had to learn before he could reach the eternal kingdom of God? And for that matter, just like you have been introduced to Krishna consciousness and you are practicing, is there something which you might still have to learn in order to derive complete satisfaction in your spiritual life, which is uninterrupted? Such complete satisfaction without any disturbance is only possible when you enter the kingdom of God and be in the direct service of the Lord. Or if you, before that, can absorb yourself totally. Up to the last instruction, Gop Kumar remained dissatisfied. He had a downward-looking face and a very distracted glance whenever Narada Muni met him. And Narada Muni met him often in different stations in the universe where different manifestations of Krishna were visible. Finally, Narada Muni finds Gop Kumar in Dwaraka. He says, "Gop Kumar, everywhere I see you, your face shows that something disturbs you. Do you know why you are discontent?" And Gop Kumar says, "No, but I feel this pain in my heart, which doesn't stop." He could have said, "I feel not completely fulfilled." So Narada Muni knows what is in Gop Kumar's mind. He has seen that Gop Kumar somehow keeps always his cowherd dress. When Gop Kumar was in the Vaikuntha planet, the servants of Lord Narayan had offered him a majestic dress, a new body. But he said, "No, please let me stay the way I am, a simple cowherd." So Narada Muni knows this is one of those. He wants to go to Krishna, but he doesn't know that he is a Krishna Bhakta. He wants Braj Bhakti, but he doesn't know how to attain it. I must instruct him. But I can't do this here in Dwaraka, where everyone is fully absorbed in the glories of Krishna as the Lord of Dwaraka. They will think I'm making a subtle sabotage. Yeah. So he says, come with me, my dear boy. I will bring you to the house of Uddhava, who once visited a very special place called Vrindavan. And there only I will talk about what you still need to know. Let me praise to you. And so they start walking and he says, let me praise to you Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he gives up all other things and keeps the mood of an ordinary friend to his devotees. In this mood, he doesn't want to have the respect and the reverence in devotional service, but he wants to expend pure love. Oh, Hare Krishna. I think they get rid of the disturbing elements who are not fit for Braj Bhakti. They clear the atmosphere, hopefully. let us pause here for a moment. Krishna was appeared in Mathura as Vasudev, the four-handed form of Lord Narayan, and his parents saw him like this and prayed like this. Devaki and Vasudev saw that our child came in full size out with a helmet, with a garland, with Shankar Chakra, Padma, and Gada. They understood, well, this is an extraordinary child. He even kept his ornaments in the womb. And they prayed the stutis, the prayers which you pray to the God with great respect. Later, when they saw Krishna, who had just slain the evil king Kamsa, when they saw him again after 10 plus years in Mathura, they stood like this before Krishna. Krishna thought of Yashoda Nanda Baba, how Yashoda had put him on his lap, how she had nourished him with her breast milk, and even before he drank, already the milk flowed freely from Yashoda. He thought about how Nanda Maharaj had shown and explained to him the different trees in Vrindavan, and how he was always doting over him. He remembered how Nanda Maharaj was hesitant to allow him to go out and herd the cows, because he thought, if my little boy leaves the protective atmosphere of the village, who knows what the tigers and other wild animals will do to him. He remembered how so much love had come from Nanda and Yashoda. They embraced him, kissed him for long times. And here were his parents who stood like this with a formal distance, like you stand before a president. And he felt sad. And he felt very thirsty for the love he had received in Vrindavan. So as Narada Muni thinks about this unprecedented sweetness of love, he becomes silent in ecstasy and does not know how to find the words to continue. So Gop Kumar, who's finally there, hoping to get an answer, how he can get rid of his devotional dissatisfaction, how he could become complete, is becoming very anxious. Is he going to speak again? Or is he maybe like my guru Jayanta, who gave me the mantra, and in the midst of explaining how I should chant it and what it means, he just fainted. And when he fainted, for a long time I waited that he would get up, and he got up, but he was so much in ecstasy, he just walked away, and I never saw him for a few years again. Is this going to happen just before I reach perfection? So he's there. Na-na-na. Maybe not like this, like we do in the West, but he's there. After some time, Narada Muni sits up again and says, "My dear boy, very far from here lies the most excellent of all places. It is known as Goloka, the place of the cows. It is famous everywhere. Krishna has made it very far away from Vaikuntha, from the material universes, but also from Ayodhya and Dwaraka, because it is there that he wants to enjoy an unlimited, unprecedented, ever-increasing ocean of sweet bliss. And therefore, it's in its own dimension. It's far away from all other kingdoms of God. And there's only one way in which you can reach it. One has to follow the devotional sentiments and the expressions of these sentiments of the very, very dear devotees of Lord Krishna, the Brajavasis. So yes, my dear devotees, to understand fully what Gop Kumar will talk about, the Lord who is no longer concentrating on his supreme power and opulence, who even forgets and forsakes it, you have to study carefully what goes on in the heart of Yashoda, what goes on in the heart of Nanda Baba, and most important, what goes on in the heart of Radharani. So Narada Muni says, you must know that the type of atmosphere which is there is not at all worldly. When I said earlier, Krishna behaves with his devotees like his ordinary friends, like friends in this world who share everything, room, the same food. Yes, I have seen good friends eating from the same plate together, because between you and me, there's no difference. We are one in our friendship. Therefore, in Indian language, you say to a very good friend, someone which you may yet have to find, you say, "Prana Bandhu, you are the Bandhu of my life force. I feel I come alive when I see you." So, but he says, it's not to be mistaken with a worldly type of friendship, like eating from the same plate. And so it's much more, because there sweetness combines with amazing opulence and then worldly simplicity. And he gives some examples. When Yashoda simply thinks of Krishna, then this thought is so strong that she feels, I am with Krishna and I want to serve Krishna. Krishna is hungry. So automatically, without planning a meal, the best meal flows from her, the milk from her breasts. Vinanda Maharaj is there. He is constantly drenched in a flood of loving tears which he sheds for Krishna. All he can think about is Krishna. And when Krishna is not present, this flood of tears becomes a river. You know, when Uddhava asked Krishna, I will go now to Vrindavan, but please tell me, how will I find the house of Nanda Maharaj? Krishna says, it's very simple. There is a channel of tears which comes from the eyes of Nanda Maharaj. Find that channel, follow its course, and you will come to my father. This is how strong the love is. The cowherd men use everything, wives, sons, what they have, only for Krishna's pleasure. And the other ladies adopt the mood of Yashoda. They love Krishna, in other words. But because they know their daughters love Krishna even more, do you know what they do? They dress up like their daughters to give pleasure to Krishna. Ladies are very conscious of how they look. That is very much occupying the thought of the female psychology. So they dress like their daughters. And the friends of Krishna desire to see Krishna constantly, so that when Krishna passes by a tree, which is for a fraction of a second, you know, they go through the forest and Krishna passes by some tree, and for that fraction of the second, the tree covers the vision of Krishna. They begin to cry, Krishna, where are you? They are so attached to Krishna in this Vrindavan. The gopis have no other interest than Krishna. We heard yesterday, when the time arrived for their marriage, at that time, all the cowherd men went to Nanda Maharaj and said, our girls only want to be with your Krishna. Can't you just make an arrangement that Krishna marries all these millions of beautiful girls? Nanda Maharaj, this was never done, such a thing. I asked Gaga Rishi, because something is special with my boy. And he asked Gaga Rishi, and Gaga Rishi says, under no circumstance. He knows that another relationship between the daughters of the cowherd man is ordained, or is then the Svakya wedded relationship. Jagatarini Mataji talked yesterday extensively about this in Javad, and some parrots came to Govardhan and told us everything. This is not true. I mean, I have to, because I talk about now very, very excellent subjects. We don't want another thing happening that you believe it, like a doctor believed that the person coming in was Parikshit was absolutely dying of thirst. This is Dr. Odaya Dam. His job is to save patients, and Parikshit was really at the edge of death, so he thought, well, here is Bisleri water, you know. This shows the power of proper acting, huh? You are pulled into another reality. So when the girls heard that their arrangements had been made to marry them for other to other husbands. My dear devotees, they could not imagine this. So they, on one day, as the marriage date came closer, they all went from different houses to the bank of the Yamuna. And in one big mass, they walked towards the Yamuna. All of a sudden, each girl thought, we are not alone. There are other girls. And in this way, they were introduced to each other. Before that, they had been at home. And they asked, why are you here? The others asked, why are you here? They all cried. And by the crying, they knew they wanted to all marry Krishna. And other arrangements had been done. So now only Yamuna was the only solution. So Radharani, at that time, emerged as the leader of all the beautiful gopis. She said, she stepped to the Yamuna and said, Yamuna Devi, I will now take this useless life, which is meant for the pleasure of the son of Nanda Maharaj. Make that in my next life I become married to Krishna. In this life it will not happen. Therefore, I'm taking this life. And all the other gopis said, Tatastu, so be it. Meaning, we will also do the same. And they walked into the Yamuna. At that time, Yamuna Mai, a bluish lady, the goddess came out of the water and carried all the gopis on the bank of the Yamuna. And she placed them under, each one under a separate black tamal tree. There the gopis lie. They had fainted. All of a sudden there was a commotion in the forest, and an elderly lady with white hair came out, accompanied with another young mystical goddess. It was Purnamasi and Vrinda Devis. They hurried and said, gopis, gopis, don't act rashly. You will all be to Krishna, and only you will only be with Krishna. This is described by Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu in the chapter Purvaraga. So this type of only interest in Krishna. If they couldn't get Krishna, they were ready to take their life. This is the example of the is another example of the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So, like saints in samadhi who are not perceiving the outside world any longer, those in love of Krishna see nothing else than Krishna. This was also what Shamika Rishi situation was. He would have, of course, given Parikshit Maharaj water, but he didn't notice that the king stood before him thirsty, nor did he notice that the king became irritated and in the end put a dead snake around him. He just was in samadhi, absorbed. This is what happens to the devotees in the kingdom of Braj. They are absorbed in Krishna to the exclusion of everything else. We are still sometimes absorbed in everything else to the exclusion of Krishna. This is not very good. This has to be changed. Or we are absorbed a little bit in Krishna, but mostly in other things. So let me say again, the three items which you find in the atmosphere of Vrindavan is amazing opulence, and we will hear a little about it, and friendship to Krishna as if he is your best friend, and also you will find, I'm sorry, I'm looking for something. The worldly simplicity. So I would like to read you a section from the Bhagavatam, where this is a little bit explained. And unfortunately, I've bookmarked. I think I have a bookmarker here. Give me 1 second, please. How this is combined, amazing opulence and worldly simplicity, which is an opposite, is described in chapter 15 of the 10th chapter, where we hear that Krishna conceals or hides his transcendental opulence in order to give emphasis to love. In this way, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi is there and does everything for the Lord in Vrindavan, he concealed his transcendental opulences by his internal potency and acted simply like the son of a cowherd. Yet even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only God could perform. You remember once Brahma, the origin of the Vedas, had a disturbing experience. He watched Krishna taking picnic with his friends, and they all ate from the plates. Here, my mother cooked this special ladu. Take it. Wonderful. Half eaten, the ladu went to another friend. And Krishna, I have this very nice preparation. Please close your eyes. I really want to surprise you. Krishna closed his eyes, opened his mind. More. And then the boy pushed a flower into the mouth of Krishna. Krishna looked at the boy, not believing what he had in his mouth. And then all the boys laughed, and Krishna laughed, and the flower flew some. And so simple. So uncomplicated, so much love. Brahma thought, this is not the Lord who spoke the Vedas. Because Vedas are a lot about suci and muci, what is clean, what is unclean. This is not the Lord. But maybe he is. So let me test him. Let me see what he does when I take away that which is most dear to him, his friends. And then Brahma made an arrangement that the cows would stray from the path. They would go, being allured by fresher grasses in the forest of Vrindavan. And the boy thought, where are the cows, Krishna? And the boy said, let us get them back. They ran some. You stay, said Krishna. It's not good when you eat to get up. It disturbs the digestion. I will go. And already he was up and going. And when he was away, Brahma stole the cowherd boys. When Krishna came back, there were no cowherd boys. Like a little boy, Krishna called, Ama Atra, I'm here, where are you? No answer. The boys had been brought somewhere else in the universe and locked in a cage where they were sleeping on soft beds, which Brahma had put there, just in case they were special boys. looked and saw it, and yes, it's all very, very ordinary. Let me go. And then he came back, and he saw that now all the cowherd boys, which he had stolen, including the calves, were with Krishna. Oh, what? What? They're in the cave, no? I mean, this is confusing. I stole these boys and the cowherd boys, brought them, and the calves, brought them to the cave, and now they are around, they are there with Krishna? I mean, did I maybe not, what did I, maybe too much somaras in the, what happened? Let me go and check, just to be sure. Whoop! He went to the cave and everyone was sleeping. Huh? Whoop! He went back and there was Krishna with everyone. All of a sudden, with a little gesture of his hand, Krishna showed Brahma who he is, Krishna, and who Brahma is. All the cows, all the calves transformed into Vishnu forms, Vasudev forms. Krishna had a smile on his lips. This is who you worship, no? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. No? Here. That's my. I have so many of these Vasudevs. This is how he showed. Brahma understood. My God, this is Krishna. This is my Lord. This is my Lord. And he paid his obeisances, threw himself on the ground, and then looked at Krishna with tears streaming from his eyes and began speaking the prayers. You find them in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. And as he was speaking, his four mouths was speaking. And do you know what Krishna did? He went... like a sweet little boy, because he thought, he speaks with four mouths. Four mouths. Brahma had composed really first-class prayers, and here Krishna went like, and he could see, this is the Lord of Vrindavan. The Lord who puts away with all his opulences, who brings away all his associates just to taste the highest amount of sweetness. What exactly does Krishna leave aside when he goes to Vrindavan? Well, it's the other abodes, like from Indra's heavenly abode up to the Vaikuntha lokas. He leaves his ornaments, his palaces, his weapons, his many thrones. He loses all the interest in his inner powers. One of the powers is that the Lord is absolute self-satisfied, or to express it in a different way, he is absolutely renounced. When Uddhava said to Nanda Maharaj, when will you understand your boy is the Lord of all that is? Nanda Maharaj said, ignorant boy, Uddhava, when my Krishna, for a moment, doesn't get the milk on time, he cries. He's not self-satisfied, apta kama. He does activities which the Lord of Vaikuntha would never do. Like, he urinates openly in the court of the Cowherd Boys and twitches their babies in the cheek. He's not the Lord. He's not Narayan. He's my boy. And then he cried. Narada says this, and he says, Krishna leaves even aside all his other attendants, like me, who have no other interest than him. And he goes alone, without inviting us to come along, to Braj, in order to enjoy this unlimited sweetness of love. I would like to give you an example which Prabhupada has given so that you understand a little bit better what is Braj Bhakti. He told it in the form of a little anecdote that the Lord, who's interested only in love, will give up all his other positions. There was once a minister in England. His name was Gladstone. I do not know, I speculate he was under Churchill, but I don't know 100%. He was a prime minister, and it was wartime, and other ministers from other countries needed to speak to him. So once a very high dignitary from another country came to on the appointed time. He had made this time with the secretary of this prime ministry to speak with Mr. Gladstone. And it had to happen then at the time because his return flight was there or his arrangements were made like this. So when he came to the office of the prime minister, the secretary said, "I'm sorry, the prime minister is very busy at the moment. He's not in the position to see you. Just wait." "Okay," said the other premier minister and waited. But it was half an hour. Then he again said, "I need to speak to him and I have an appointment." Secretary just quickly looked in the door and shut it. Said, "It's too busy. He's very busy." And he said, "He does not wish to be disturbed." So then the secretary had to do some other work, and another half an hour had gone by. And then this minister from the foreign country, the other country, opened the door a little bit. And what did he see? He saw the prime minister on all his fours. The jacket, very good jacket, was somewhere else. He was there in his shirt. The shirt was buttoned open. The button was open. He had a red face. He was really sweating. And on his back was a little boy who said, "Faster, faster, faster." And he was running around the table on all his fours. You are like a dead horse," said the little grandson who was there. "Faster." And he was trying to go faster. And then the minister understood. He closed the door and he waited. Because he understood Mr. Gladstone, who was deciding about millions of dollars investment and about armies moving here and there, he was busy in another world, the world of love, with his grandson. And he had no time for the world of money and weapons and influence and so on. So Krishna in Braj, this is what Prabhupada wanted to show with this example, is very busy with the loving exchange of his devotees. Now, Narada Muni finishes the glories of Braj by saying, "When the Lord wishes to enjoy the highest degree of loving pastimes, he leaves aside Vaikuntha and other abodes. He leaves aside his superior power, his consort, Lakshmi, and servants like me, Narada. And then Narada Muni leans forward. Gop Kumar, I must tell you now one thing and one thing only. But I would like to just make a little pause, because I know how we are in Krishna consciousness. When there's a nectar overdoses, we get like overwhelmed. Maybe you turn to your neighbor and you have one very difficult task. Imagine your neighbor is not a member of the Govardhan retreat. He was not here for this part of the lecture. And you want to show him or prove to him that Vrindavan Dham is the highest of all abodes or places of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What would be your argument or arguments? Start now. And the one who, if you listen and your neighbor is trying to convince you and it's not very convincing, you have to tell him, this is the most foolish thing I've ever heard. Then he will have to do better.
This lady water. No, So, okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you. You can try to convince your neighbor afterwards even more. Narada Muni now goes on to convince Gop Kumar why it is that Vrindavan Dham and Braj Bhakti is most extraordinary. He mentions that there are six distinctive features in Braj. And again, I must say, if you wish to go there, it's good to know them. The first was the Lord's opulence. You know, Lakshmi is the eternal consort of Narayan, and she manifests the opulent kingdom of Vaikuntha, where all the, you know, the Lord is there in his many forms, and his servants are there in palaces, served by all the Shaktis and so on. But in Vrindavan, Lakshmi, who also empowers Brahma and Shiva and everyone with wealth, has no responsibility. She can roam around freely, but she has empowered as the transcendental Lakshmi the trees of Vrindavan. This is there in the 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 34. It says, these trees are wish-fulfilling trees. They fulfill one's desires with their leaves, their flowers, their fruits, their shade, their roots, their bark and wood, and also with their fragrance. Sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. In other words, not just the whole tree is a wish-fulfilling tree. Every item of the tree, leaves, bark, and so on, is a wish-fulfilling tree which can fulfill the desires of one and all. I know that our Jagatarini Mataji has announced many years ago that one day she wants to write a book on the trees of Vrindavan and maybe lecture on the trees of Vrindavan. But this is, it's known all over in the Shastras. These trees are Kalpa Vriksha trees. And although the Lord does not need anything or desire anything, they are there to facilitate his pastimes. The next quality, so the opulences, even just a tree is already very opulent and can manifest anything and everything in Vrindavan. And they do this for the service of the Lord. Some devotee may have want a golden Arctic plate. Whoops, it's there under the tree. This is a very opulent land, but it's hidden by the sweetness. So it's not often taken advantage of. The next thing which is extraordinary and cannot be found in any other abode of the Lord is Krishna's mercy. And Narada Muni says to Gop Kumar, consider Putana's life. She came to the Boma Vrindavan. She had the desire to kill Krishna, but she wanted to do this by offering him, like a nurse, the breast of her milk. And Krishna took all the poison from her. She had poisoned her breast. And poison out of the mind and out of the life of Putana and out of his mercy, because she had just approached him. Krishna in Vrindavan thought, let her be what she had come for, that is my nurse. Let me liberate her from her demoniac life and let me make her my nurse in the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. Huh? So from Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan which is manifest here on this earth, it's the Vrindavan in which you and me sit at the moment, he brought her to Goloka Vrindavan, the eternal Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Another excellent quality, which is nowhere to be found except for Vrindavan, is his beauty. His beauty amazes even Lord Narayan, who sees sometimes Krishna and faints. He's so beautiful. I want to talk about something about which I should not talk. When you see worldly beauty, you go like, wow. And you, like, say you enter into a building and it is constructed so nice. I remember I was in New York and I went into one of these, I do not know how they're called, but there are apartments in skyscrapers. It started with C. What? A condo. Yes, a condo. And inside it looked really like the kingdom of God, in the foyer at least, when you entered, with marble and with gold and with everyone was dressed. The servants there were dressed with sparkling uniforms. I even looked at the shoes. They were sparkling of the and so on. And I went like, wow! I was there in a dhoti. It was not ironed, and it was and they all looked at me, and I just said, wow, it really looks good here. And they said, what are you doing here, sir? They wanted to throw me out, and I said, I have one of your condos here. And I gave my identification. Oh, sorry. And they again spoke very politely. Yes. So anyone who saw Krishna, including Narayan, I don't think they had said, wow, but, you know, but the equivalent. It is so inconceivable that Shastra says, even the cows became ecstatic when they saw Krishna by seeing this beauty. The wow is not ecstasy, it's just amazement. But they became ecstatic. You know, the birds became ecstatic. The bushes became ecstatic. Have you ever seen an ecstatic bush? Or ecstatic creeper? No, in Vrindavan you can see. Trees became ecstatic. The trees waved in the Prabodhananda Sarasvati says, when we see in Vrindavan trees waving, it's not because of the breeze, but it is because they dance in ecstasy upon seeing Krishna. Yes. So, and their ecstasy manifested. There were tears, floods of tears from the residents of Vrindavan. Moving and non-moving entities had their hair standing on end. Have you ever seen a cow with hair standing on end, or a dog, or a crow with feathers standing on end? This is finally something which is not boring, you know. The gopis express Krishna's beauty by giving a description which is very, very wonderful. They say, "What woman would not deviate from religious behavior when they would see the beauty, the character of Krishna? Even the most beautiful woman, the most strong character woman, which has the greatest virtue and the most excellent behavior, would not be able to help herself but run after Krishna." And so on. Krishna's beauty was so remarkable that the residents of Vrindavan cursed Brahma and praised Indra. Brahma is very sattvic and Indra does many mistakes. They curse Brahma for this reason. "You foolish creator, you have created eyes which blink. So in a moment we don't see Krishna." And they praised Indra, who had seduced the wife of the great Rishi Gotama. Her name was Ahalya, and who was therefore cursed and eventually got 1,000 eyes on his body. They said, "Indra is to be praised because he has 1,000 eyes. So if one eye blinks, the others are open." And then they blink and, you know, like this they can see Krishna. He is the glorious person. He knows the art of seeing. But Brahma, so ignorant, you know. In other words, not seeing Krishna's beauty for even a fraction of a second. I think it's called a nimesha, or a truti, or I don't know right now. That was such a pain that the Vrijbasis had only one person to complain to. That is the creator of this useless eyes, Lord Brahma. This is the beauty of the Lord. At which time does someone make such a remark? He must be totally overwhelmed with the beauty of Krishna. Then finally, Narada Muni, and I'm almost at the end of the qualities, so we have beauty now. Then Narada Muni begins to speak of the pastimes of Krishna. And there Narada Muni can almost not find an end. It's a long, long discussion. He says, what no one had ever done, that is what Krishna did. Neither Brahma had done such activities, nor Rudra. What Krishna himself had never done in his other incarnations, like Nrisimhadev and Rama, that Krishna did in Vrindavan. And in this way, he praises his activities, how he easily killed the demons. You know, there was this heavy demon, Keshi, who was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. And Keshi came to Vrindavan And when he arrived, his tail was swishing the clouds. Shoo, 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 shoo. He was crying or whinnying so that the ladies of Braj, that's in Boma Vrindavan, felt their pregnancies were in danger. He was so loud, and he took his hooves and went and made big clouds by moving it. While this was going on, Kamsa was walking up and down in his palace and think, I hope Keshi is able to kill Krishna. Then Krishna quickly came before Keshi. And Mathura, Kamsa walked, I think Keshi is going to kill me. He has hooves which are as sharp as knives, and he has the power to move planets with his kicks. Now, as he was thinking like this, Kamsa was thinking like this, the shade fell into the court of his palace. And the next moment, Keshi fell on his head, dead. Keshi was just lying there in the court of Mathura. Krishna had so easily, within split seconds, killed him, thrown him, and just carefully aimed him. He didn't even need the finger to aim. He just threw him right before Kamsa's feet. Bring some better demons. this pastime's amazing. Or how Krishna showed all these Vasudeva forms to Brahma, who wanted to test whether he was really the origin of all other forms of God. Unique pastimes. How, as an infant, Krishna broke a cart which needed several stout cowherd men to lift up. How he showed twice the universe in his mouth. How can Krishna do these pastimes? There is one secret, my dear devotees. Krishna himself is giving his control to his Lila Shakti. It's his energy which does his these pastimes. There is a very nice proof of this in the Bhagavatam. Remember how one morning the cowherd boys came with their lunch pads and had a picnic wanted to have a picnic in the forest, and while they were herding their cows, and how Agasura, a terrible demon, took the form of a python and lay on the path with a mouth so big that the lower jaw touched the ground and the upper jaw the sky. Monster! So the cowherd boys thought, I've never seen this. There was a loud noise, the breathing of Agasura. And as he was breathing, a fishy smell, a stinky smell came out. The cowherd boys saw this and they thought, Krishna is with us. Let us explore a little. So they all went into the mouth of Agasura on the way to the stomach. So Krishna saw this. And in the Bhagavatam it is said, Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys, who did not know anyone but him as their lord, had now gone out of his hand and were helpless. They had entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura. You know, Agasura's body was like a fire, and they were like straw. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends and the cowherd boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure what to do now. They had just gone into the fire of death. Vishwanath asked a question, which is very important, the answer, to understand. What was the cause of Krishna's astonishment? I mean, isn't he all-knowing? The Lord thought, it is not possible for these cowherd boys to have parapta karma. Besides, the super soul does not give them the tendency even for karma, because the super soul is my expansion. It does not do anything unfavorable to me. Therefore, it is the Leela Shakti, the energy of my pastimes, which has made the seemingly unfavorable arrangement with a desire to put me, who is full of prema, in a compassionate mood on seeing this unfortunate situation. It astonishes me how she controls even me, the form of all rasas and the king of all leelas. What should I do now in this situation? How can I kill the demon who are inside without harming the boys? And Krishna thought for a moment. Just imagine, he is the Lord of all that is. But he has left his Shaktis behind. He doesn't want to be the Lord. He wants to be a simple friend. He wants to love and be loved. And therefore, he goes like, this all-knowing Shakti, now Jnana Shakti, is not at the moment there. So what is it? I'm surprised. I wonder. I'm amazed. How could this happen? And he finds out what it is. The Lord has given away his control, away his knowledge, because he does want to be the Lord of love. Everything is put into this one aspect he wants to enjoy. Sweet, unlimited love. And this is a wonder in his pastimes. I have now difficulties to come to an end. I really need to come to an end. I know. Let me not even... No, it's not so bad. It's all right. Oh, no, you say. Now he will go on more. Yes, a little bit more. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Narada now has a doubt. I have now talked about the pastimes, and I want to talk in the end about his amazing sweetness, which of his character. But how can I really describe my Lord's pastimes? Not even Krishna understands in certain situations what is happening, because it's a Leela Shakti he works. But Narada Muni thinks it's bewildering for me, because in Krishna's pastimes, he expands in so many forms. No mystic has ever done such a thing. And at the same time, as in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, he acts naively like a child who laughs about Brahma speaking with four mouths at the same time. This is just two opposites don't seem to come in one container here. But they are in Krishna. So in this way, Brahma is bewildered. And there is another thing which is extremely bewildering, and that is that at Krishna's pastime, or when Krishna acts in Vrindavan, he is never like you and me, that is confined to one age. I am now an old man who is stepping towards death. Not that dramatic. I mean, I'm only 60 plus, but I cannot jump any longer like I did when I was young. I climbed trees, you can't believe. I had ropes on trees and swung over streets because I was impressed by Tarzan as a child. And I could run a whole day, I remember. I would, because I had so much energy and was also so frustrated in material life, I didn't find any place to put my energy, that I remember I got up early and I ran the whole day, just run. I didn't know where I should run. I ran through forests and nearby rivers, but I ran the whole day. I don't want to stop. It's so boring here. It's so boring. But I can't do this. If I run in one kirtan for half an hour, you will find me. The strength of old age is no longer there. The strength of young age is not there. But Krishna is served at every time of his leela by the sweetness and naughtiness of a little boy, by the cleverness and skillfulness of a 7-year-old, and by the beauty and attractive potency of a young boy whose beauty is bewildering everyone. The gopis understood his secret, that at the same time, you are a small boy, you are a middle age, and you are so attractive. He said, Oh Krishna, outwardly you display the body of a child, but we know what you are doing in the caves of Govardhan. There you are partaking of pleasure with the doe-eyed gopis. We will openly expose your double-dealing rascaldom to your mother. We tell her everything. Here you drink from her breast. There you act differently with young ladies. Then, when we go, you might forget about your cheating business. When the gopi said this to him, he started sucking his thumb and peacefully dove off in his little cradle. May that Sri Hari purify the whole world. Yesterday, Madhavananda quoted one verse. It's from Rupa Goswami's collection. He said, "Once Sri Yashoda asked Sri Krishna, 'O Lala, my son, how much fresh butter have you now stolen?' Now Krishna, who for the elders was a little boy, you know, with this, for the gopis who sat nearby, they saw him as Kishore, as a young boy, and in front of his elders, he took his hand, touched the breast of Dhanishta and said, 'This much.'" Dhanishta went, "How can you do this in front of everyone?" He didn't say this, but the Sisharanga says, "May that Krishna protect us, who is just inconceivable." The explanation is that in all stages of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, he displays simultaneously the qualities of the little baby, a little boy, and a youth. Why? Why? He wants to reciprocate with the love of each single devotee. Remember, it's the kingdom of unlimited love. And that's why all ages need to serve him. And for this. Yes. Narada Muni goes on and on. At times he says, "My tongue, please stop. I'm afraid that you will say something which is inappropriate to say in public, to say here." But then he says, "My tongue cannot stop to speak about the glories of Lord Krishna." And then at the end he speaks about the sweetness of all of Krishna's excellent qualities. And he praises and praises this by finally coming to the pastime, which is the supreme pastime of Krishna, which he has revealed in this world out of his mercy, and which has tremendous potency to evoke awaken love. Who can imagine what this pastime, which Narada Muni is approaching and not sure if he can speak about it in public, could be? I'm sorry. What did you say? Rasa Leela. Acha. Yes. Yes. You are actually correct. It's a Leela which Sridhar Swami says has a particular potency, and it is because of this potency that Krishna chose to reveal it in this world. See, all the conditioned souls are bound by one rope, which is very difficult even for saints and mystics to separate. This is the rope. You know what that could be. You just need to briefly look in your heart and you see it there. Maybe not in Vrindavan, but it's a rope of lust, the strongest of all material attachments. So hearing how sweetly Krishna dealt with his most dear devotees, and hearing this with faith, that's very important, with faith that this is transcendental, it's not like what is in this world, has the potency to, the power to awaken another Cupid in your heart, that is the transcendental Cupid in your heart. Sridhar Swami says this god of love is effulgent. The god of love in this world is often dull and selfish. He is effulgent in the sense that he intends to conquer the material world. In other words, he bestows liberation from the material world by bestowing transcendental sense gratification. Transcendental sense gratification means not lust, but prema. Means the desire to only please Krishna, which is the highest form of ecstasy perceivable, which, as we have shown, even the plants who come in contact with Krishna quiver in ecstasy and shed tears in the form of their sap when they come in contact with Krishna. So this is the power of the rasa dance. Sometimes devotees say, "No, we should not hear about the rasa dance because we are impure and we are not ready for this." But Jiva Goswami says, it's not that first you must be ready, that is totally transcendentally qualified, and then you can hear the rasa dance. No, you must hear about this pastime which Krishna has manifested, Shukadev Goswami said, out of his anugraha, the mercy for the souls who are bound by lust in this world. No, you must first hear this because this awakens something in your heart. It's something like fire will be awakened, which can burn to ashes straw. In other words, the fire of love can burn to ashes the straw of the reflection in the material world. No? And therefore, you must, this Rasa Lila can be heard, but from proper sources and with faith. And therefore, I think we are prepared by Jagatarini in her katha. And now we hear one katha in the evening, but I think she is preparing us to go hear the Rasa Lila. Is she? Yes, she is preparing us, our heart, to awaken faith in our hearts. Because that's the strongest medicine against the strongest disease. Jiva Goswami says, first comes light, then the darkness goes. Don't think that you first work with darkness and then you will see light. No, first light, then the darkness goes. So first the light of transcendental love has to be understood. Then the lust of this world will surely go. My dear devotees, there's one principle of desire, and I want to end with this. Desire, which turns in an turns to lust, to have something, intense craving. You only desire something which you do not have. For instance, a sick man wants health. Do you remember when you were very ill and how you wanted to only be healthy? You said, my Lord, I don't need anything else, just health, health, health. So, excuse me, Hare Krishna, when we say sick man, everyone goes, ah. I want to ask you a question to awaken your desire. What do you think is it that would satisfy you in all respects and that you don't have at the present moment? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, you have certain things which are satisfying you, good pens maybe, or good spectacles, or a very fine working mobile telephone. There are many but this gives some satisfaction. But what is it that would satisfy you in all respects? It would satisfy you, yenatma supasidati, the Bhagavatam says. Completely, it would have to satisfy the self completely, and it would not be able to be taken away from you, not even by time. What is it? And I think if we think about this, carefully in the land of Vrindavan, there is only one example. If I would have complete, unlimited love of Krishna and feel his love completely in my life, I really do not need medicine, wealth, or toys to distract my wandering mind. I would be there, satisfied. And this is the Krishna consciousness movement wants to give. Narada Muni, he's the son of the Adi Guru, the original Guru, Lord Brahma. Well, there are many Adi Gurus, Lord Balaram or so, but some, a very highly posted thing, he turns to Gop Kumar and says, I see you are not satisfied. Now you have to know that you are not satisfied because you miss your Ishta Devata, the Lord of your heart, Madan Gopal, and I will now tell you the sadhana, the spiritual practice which you need to do in order to reach Madan Gopal, the Lord of Love, in Vrindavan Dham. And this is what Gop Kumar needed to hear. This is what he wanted to hear. This is what he died to hear. He needed to know what to do. And I believe we all need to know this. And I will stop now. Time-wise. But continue tomorrow at the same time. I must tell you, there was a lot of nectar which Narada Muni talked about. At times, he said, I don't feel qualified to talk about it, but if I don't talk about it, I burst. It's so nectarian. So then he talked. I couldn't do justice to it very nicely. You have to read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Tomorrow I tell you the exact quotations. But I try to do the subject full justice. I think if you hear what to do, you will become very thoughtful and you will look at your life and see, am I already, have I considered this in my life? Or is this something I want to take with me and practice? It's very, very practical and very, I would say, I became, when Uddhava hears this, he suddenly jumps up and sings and dances in ecstasy because it's just so too much nectar. So, Hare Krishna. I want to stop here. Oops. I am now only 2 minutes over the time. This is very good timekeeping. Let us just end with a little kirtan, okay? Just a little. We can all turn to Giriraj Govardhan.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
A little deeper, little lower.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Noyo Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jaya Gauri Tai, Jaya Govardhan, Tai, Jaya Govardhan, Tai, Jaya Govardhan, Tai. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha. Oh! Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
Thank you very, very much. Tomorrow we will present the answer to Gop Kumar's most urgent question, how to go to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.